Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, grab our audio-only version. Find it on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps, as well as Facebook podcasts. With us tonight is iSpy Air founder Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Greetings.
Greetings. Also joining us is Product Red Extraordinaire, Roy Slipinski. Hey, Roy.
I feel like I leveled up with this new intro for me. Got to figure out what I need to do for the next level.
Oh my gosh.
The thing I just noticed, though, is that on the image, like, I can see the microphone down there, but you can't see the microphone. All you see is the top of the microphone. There you go.
Can I just hold there's this right here all night?
Yeah.
It's like MKBHD version.
It does. That's what I was just thinking. Now that you say that, that kind of does look like it. He just brought back a red sweatshirt or something.
His hoodie, yeah.
It's so crisp. We also have and are honored by the presence of Cooking with Tim host Chef Tim Van Claveren. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
We need to get an audio track.
We should
pause when.
Oh, a round of applause.
I'm on it.
Yes.
With us tonight, directing the show is, as always, executive gamer Joseph Meacham. Hey, Joe.
What's up, gamers? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So tonight we're going to be talking about one thing that I think everybody would expect, and one thing that is seems incredibly heinous.
Did you guys see the title of what I posted for this? Joe did. I don't know if you guys saw it. Is the season to be laid off?
Oh, yes.
Man. That's the one. That's the story that I think is probably the most heinous. One of the most heinous stories that I've seen really all year. And Matt, I hadn't heard about this until you shared it. Did you want to give like a little bit about what?
Let's go into the Zoom first. Because I find this very, very wrong, and I find this very, very, like, I mean, terminating people is never great. It's never great, you know, and stuff like that. And to do it on a Zoom call just seems totally inappropriate. And, you know, the CEO of Better.com fired.
Which, by the way, have you guys heard of Better.com at all before?
I didn't.
Never.
And I know what it is now. And did you hear about it before?
I had no idea what it was.
Neither did I. The only thing I've heard of is Better Dev, and he's a YouTuber and does YouTube videos. But Better.com is a like online mortgage company, I think it is, if I'm right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so anyways, I just didn't want to give them any traffic to their website, you know, to count towards that. The CEO of Better.com fired 900 people on a pre-holiday Zoom call, telling them that 15% of their workforce is being cut, and they were in the lucky 15% of it. Bunch of people on there did it, and the recorded it. It ended up on, you know, YouTube and
all over social TikTok. Media. Everybody's incredibly angry that it happened.
As I was researching this morning or today, there was an article that I came across that I'm going to see if I can find it. It's from Business Insider. Don't know if it's true or whatnot, but it says Better.com CEO accuses hundreds of the 900 employees that he laid off on Zoom calls of stealing by only working 2 hours a day.
What?
Only do you fire 900 people in a really, like, it was very unemotional. It was very like,
Oh,
yeah. Building it up as if he can't possibly imagine firing anybody right now, but giving like the flattest delivery.
Oh, by the way, you're thieves and you suck.
It was like,
and it's like, yeah, it was after. And it's like, you guys, it's something, I don't know where this came from. This is a quote in the post, but it says, you guys know that 250 of the people who are terminated are working an average of 2 hours a day while clocking in for an average of eight hours plus a day in the payroll system. They were essentially stealing time from our customers who pay our bills and get our bills paid. So, but apparently he wrote that in an email or something, it says a blind post. But anyways, I mean, that's a big accusation to make, you know. And then right after that, I think he gave a live stream to the rest of the employees calling what the vision of Better 2.0 has been. Mm. And I also heard that they just received $100,000 in cash to funnel them through to get them public. So,
yeah, some company is going to help them go public, and they've been receiving like deposits of money, I think, all throughout since like May when it happened. But like right before this firing, what they received $750 million in cash as part of a deal, and then they're going to go public, and then they're going, the company is prepared to have more than $1 billion on its balance sheet. So it doesn't look like the company is hurting right now.
It doesn't. And I mean, you don't see him probably taking a payroll cut, you know, to help people out, you know. I know CEOs who during this pandemic, you know, took payroll cuts in order to keep their employees online. One of the big around here is Brown Bear Car Wash. And they kept all their employees on during lockdown when they couldn't open. And stuff like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of companies out there and, you know, CEOs took pay cuts, you know, and stuff like that in order to do that. Executive teams took payroll cuts to do that. So, you know, it's discouraging that they did it. And to do it over Zoom, like in a context that it's a pre-holiday call, you know, like they're there to gather for a holiday call and then they find out they're being let go. And they shared in the video what the terms were, and I think it was like you get paid 4 weeks of severance, and then you get like a month worth of healthcare, and then they're paying 2 months of COBRA premium or something like that.
That's not even
but
good.
Depending on how, yeah, exactly. But depending on how long you've been there, if you've been there for years, like I mean. So anyways, it's been making news all across the things. I've seen it all over social media today and over the weekend. And I was totally shocked at this.
The video, which I think everybody should watch for just like how to not fire anyone, but also how not to fire 900 people at once. It was like, it was incredibly offensive watching the guy make his statements. And then he's like, this is the second time in my career I'm doing this. And I do not want to do it.
He said, the first time I cried, this time I'm going to try and be stronger.
What? You're not emotional about losing this many employees at all? Somehow not being like empathetic to the situation that you are instigating for all your employees. It isn't strong. I don't understand. And then to come out and say and to accuse people of like stealing after you've already kicked them with like barely any warning out of their jobs. Super scummy thing to do.
Yeah. No, I totally think it was the wrong way to do it. And it sucks for every one of those 900 plus people who, you know, were fired. But yeah.
And apparently the guy has been involved in controversy before on CNN Business. There's an email that he sent to staff that Forbes got, where he says, "You are too damn slow. You are a bunch of dumb dolphins. So stop it. Stop it. Stop it right now. You are embarrassing me." I don't know the context that that email was sent in, but it seems like if bullying isn't something he's used to, it seems like he is really good at it in the short term.
I want to say there's going to be a CEO change here in the near future. I mean, just like, do you really think the investors are going to want to invest in a company like this? Like,
well, that's exactly it. Once you go public and you now have to answer to the masses that have invested money in you, something like this is going to cause your stocks to plummet based on just the PR downfall or, on this. He will not last as CEO. If he stays on as CEO after they go public, he won't last long. Like, he just... this is not how you run a publicly traded company. Not like that. I'm not saying that you don't ever have to lay off 900 people, because, you know, sometimes you do. Sometimes you have to make the tough calls. But there's a way to do it, and a way to do it correctly, and there's a time to do it. Doing it right for the holidays, never a good time to do it. Never a good time. There's no company that will ever look good while firing employees right for the holidays. Just not going to happen.
So I just, because I was looking at articles on there, and there's this picture of the CEO, and he says he threatened to burn his business partner alive, and now he's a billionaire. This is from August 19th, 2021. And it's from the Daily Beast, so I mean, I don't know if it's true, but
and it's hard to take those things, hear them, and not have the context surrounding them, because, like, separate from this event, if I heard something like that and I wasn't aware, I could be like, oh, this guy is saying some incendiary things about his coworkers. That's not good. But I don't know what his level of humor is and what's acceptable in their workplace. As a CEO, I think maybe those aren't the things that you want to be heard saying. But also in the context, though. It is 2021, though. And we've seen the way he fires people, so my vote is on consistent bad behavior.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I mean, when you're, I don't know. I don't see the company lasting even if they go. I mean, this is pretty horrible thing to do during this, you know. And when you're flooding the media right now, and all of these, you know, articles are flying through there, it's going to be hard to do it. You know, people are going to remember it too, because better.com, like, you know, they're going to be like, maybe they'll be looking for a home like Roy is, you know, and maybe down the line they'll see an advertisement for,
I'm not, know, using get, better.com.
Well,
not
no, but I'm just saying these people might see that and they'll go, oh, isn't that the company that fired people during the holiday season, right before the holiday, and did it over Zoom, and then accused them of stealing? Like,
come listen, on. If you make Tim Sweeney look like a better CEO than you, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, Tim Sweeney is all that, but this guy is pretty horrible. So
Tim Sweeney wouldn't fire you before the holiday season over Zoom.
Yeah.
I bet he would. So. Tim Sweeney would fire me on Christmas Day.
He would do it at 2 o'clock in the morning over an email.
He would wake my kids up, dressed as Santa Claus, and say, "Ho ho ho, you're fired." That's what Tim Sweeney would do. I'm dead convinced.
Yeah. But
and you have like Fortnite characters dancing in the background.
Yeah. And he'd give them like Fortnite bucks, V bucks as he's doing it. He's like, "Ho ho ho, you're fired. Take your V
bucks. Here's your severance package."
And Tim Sweeney would know that the video of that would get leaked on social media. He'd be waiting
he'd
for
leak it.
It
himself.
Yeah,
exactly.
He'd be proud of
two,
it.
2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd be sending out that email before. I wonder if his lawyer is just contacted, because we haven't seen any late night emails from him in the morning. I wonder if his lawyer has contacted the IT department and said, cut off his email from 9 o'clock at night until 7 o'clock in the morning. No emails. If he sends an email, hold it till 7 a.m.
Tunnel all his emails to the lawyers first.
The lawyers have to hit an approve button to approve his email.
They have a specific flag in their email that says Tim Sweeney message, read immediately.
Probably has a push notification on their phone that pops up and is like, oh, Tim sent out an email, guys. Who's on call this weekend? this guy needs some legal advice, I think, you know, on better approaches to approach people. So anyways, I hate getting laid off is no good, but right now is actually a really good time to be laid off because there's lots of jobs openings and stuff like that. So hopefully these 900 employees will get something here in the future and get onto a better role where they have a better CEO that takes care of them.
And I would imagine that especially now when the housing industry is doing really well, it would at least relieve some stress to know that.
When you say the housing market is doing well,
For buyers,
it is a horrible market. You have to outbid everybody. You have to not even look at what you're like. You don't even have time to tour properties. You don't have a time to get proper inspections done. You have to throw out more than the asking value because that's what everybody else is doing. It is not good for buyers right now.
No.
The sellers.
You have to spend as much as you're comfortable with and then go a little bit above that. So there's no room for someone to snake it from you if that's possible.
So onto the other topic, which kind of crosses over into this topic, I thought was a good idea. And that's the Call of Duty workers that walked out in protest of
which I find very interesting. So it's Ravensoft that works on Call of Duty Warzone. Current employees at the studio walked out or called out in protest of layoffs that affected contract QA testing positions that were let go last week, but the walkout happened today, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. The people aren't being terminated. At least Activision got it right, because these people aren't even actually being terminated until the end of January. They at least have their jobs through the holiday season. I mean, it's still a horrible time to announce, don't get me wrong, but at least they're not like, you're gone.
And it did say in the article on The Verge that they're bringing in 500 of the temporary workers to full time in the coming months.
No, that was at the other studio.
That's right. Never mind. That's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have Raven Software, which is the department that has the QA, or the studio that has the QA, the quality assurance. They're the ones that are being laid off. And what is it? Tachyon or something like that.
Was Treyarch.
Treyarch. That's it. I knew it started with a T. That's the one that's bringing all of the contract people to full-time positions. Both of these companies work for and are owned. I'm not sure if Raven Software is owned by, but Treyarch is owned by Activision, and they work on Call of Duty games. And if you guys aren't familiar with the way that Activision has their Call of Duty games developed, is they usually have two studios working on Call of Duty games, and they alternate their releases. So Treyarch will work on one, and that'll release, and the next Call of Duty game will be released by somebody else. And that's why there for a while we had like the Modern Warfare series and the Black Ops series. The Modern Warfare series was done by Infinity Ward, and the Black Ops was done by
Treyarch.
Yes, sorry, I don't know why I spaced on that. And that's kind of how the way that Activision works for their Call of Duty games. That way they can kind of simultaneously be developing games and not devoting too many resources from one of their studios at a time.
So it's 20 of the QA employees at the Raven Software that are being terminated. And again,
it was actually 12 at Ravensoft and 8 other testers that were just separately let go throughout Activision Blizzard's studios. And the Ravensoft employees, though, were just kind of dismissed without a clear explanation, which really frustrated Ravensoft and the employees. I'm not sure what the reason for the other testers was, though. I couldn't find that.
Now, yeah, before anybody's like, 12 employees, that's not a whole lot. That's 30% of their QA workforce, which 12 employees, not a whole lot, but 30% of their QA workforce. And this is on their Warzone game, which brings in how much a day? It brings in like $5.2 million a day. $5.2 million a day. Now, this is a game that is already released out in public to be played. Development's done on it. Basically, at this point, your QA is there to make sure that bugs aren't happening, things are getting patched correctly. The main money to build this game is done. At this point, it's just maintenance, and that's what your QA for is. And you're telling me that you can't afford 12 employees on your $5.2 million a day.
Yeah, no, it's another company that is prioritizing money over employees, you know, and it's I mean, they're also facing a lawsuit for sexual harassment too, you know, so and that's in California, I wanted to say.
Yeah, the state of California.
Right? Yeah, state of California. So I mean, I hope that there's more companies out there. And I was reading a job description, or I was looking or hearing about a job description earlier in the day about a company, and they want to create a stressful work environment for you. One job posting that I found was for a senior software developer, and it was basically you work nine to three and you're discouraged from clocking on before that and working later than that. Like they want you to be most productive, and they want you to be there when they had lunches in the office and everybody came into the office. They encouraged you, they had free lunch and stuff like that, so they encouraged you to stick around for lunch. They catered in, did things like that on Fridays or something like that. But they had lots of great things, and it was just like they had team building exercises and stuff like that to try and motivate people and stuff like that. But you know, there's a bunch of other companies, you know, out there that I've looked at, you know, and video game companies and stuff like that, they want to encourage and make a better successful life for their employees. And I wish there was more companies out there, that did that, you know, and, I hope that someday there's CEOs out there that will, you know, transform this game industry and stuff like that. Because, you know, literally, like Roy said, the game's done, but what happens if something breaks in it? You know, you need to push out bugs and stuff like that to fix things. You know, people rely on QA engineers, you know, to make the game better and maintain maintenance of it, you know?
Let's put in a little bit of context, that is a little bit more relatable. Let's pretend that you make a smartphone. Okay, you're going to dump a lot of money into your R&D for this smartphone, and then you're going to push it out. Okay, and let's say that it has bugs, like, I don't know, cellular connectivity bugs, or slow fingerprint reader, or stuff like that. If you don't have people out there working on QA to ensure that we can find these bugs and find them quickly. Yeah. I was hoping Tim would get my reference there.
Google, get with it.
If you don't have your QA people enough QA people and enough coders in place, you can't squash those bugs fast enough. And if you can't squash those bugs fast enough, the headlines keep circulating around the internet. This day and age, it doesn't take much. And the faster and more prevalent people see those headlines, the more less likely they are to utilize said product. So like in the case of the Pixel 6 with the cellular connectivity issue, if it's a software issue and Google can't fix it within a month, especially a month after launch, people are going to be less likely to buy that phone forever. Everybody remember when Assassin's Creed Unity launched? It was riddled with bugs and nobody wanted to play it. Now they fixed it. They patched out those bugs. They made the game playable finally, but the damage was done. I bought the game and I've literally never played it because like I heard how like horrible it was at launch. And even though I know it's fixed, I just have not felt the need to go and play it because that the whole stigma behind it. And that's what happens when you don't have the best Q&A team to begin with. I mean, this was bad at launch. Okay. Obviously Warzones is already out, but they need their Q&A, their QA people to find those bugs, find them fast so they can get patched out before it becomes too big of a problem for the user base that makes people not want to play it. Cause then your $5.2 million a day becomes a lot less.
Like Cyberpunk.
Yes, that is another great example.
I just recently actually, I went to GameStop to actually buy it last week because they had it for $10. And when I walked in, the employee was like, are you buying it for Xbox One or the Series X? And I'm like, I'm getting it for the Series X. He's like, okay, good. I was about to refuse a sale because it does not run on Xbox One at all. Like, even though the game is advertised as it can play on Xbox One, it doesn't work. Which I thought was interesting that he was stopping in. And then, like, I went to Target and they were like, yeah, it's been discontinued at our Target. So, like, they stopped selling it entirely.
I am going to call out Tim Sweeney right now to pick up and hire these workers who are being terminated to do the right thing, Tim Sweeney.
I thought you wanted them to have a better work environment, Matt.
I do, but I want them to have a job. You know, I don't think that I'm hoping
they
that
can
Tim
go
Sweeney...
work for Google and work with their quality assurance department because they need it.
They Tim do. Sweeney. They do. Google could pick them up too.
Someone tells Tim Sweeney that they might Apple bite hire them and he wants to beat them.
There you go. I mean, I love the Pixel, but Google needs to fix that crap.
Oh my God. Like literally like today, all day long, I was sitting there for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes trying to get my stupid fingerprint to read. And then it wouldn't. And then it took me to the password screen. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me right now? Like,
scanner sucks so much.
It is the worst. I'm just going to say it. To take out Face ID and not bring Face ID to it and put this shitty-ass fingerprint scanner on the thing is just pretty shitty.
I'm going to be honest. I enrolled my fingerprint twice on that phone, and after that, I didn't have any issues.
I should do that, I guess. I should re-enroll my fingerprint, you know.
I did that.
I had my fingerprint enrolled twice, not like I re-enrolled. Like, no, I had two of the same fingerprint encoded into the security and it worked
I will say, like, when I was setting up the fingerprint, and maybe I need to redo my fingerprint, it took a long time compared to what I do on Apple, you know, when I had the fingerprint scanner on Apple. You know, it was a lot quicker, seamless, took way less time. It took me almost a little over a minute to set up my fingerprint on the Pixel.
I have a question for you then, I guess all of you guys, because you all use Apple. How often do you encounter on like a fully released hardware or fully released software, like day one or week one bugs? Like how often?
Not very often.
It happens, but it doesn't happen very often. And more than likely it's fixed before. Like there have been some, you know, like any software company that puts out software, I mean, there's been software that's gone out that's bricked phones or Apple Watches or devices, sure. HomePods, those type of things, you know, and they're quickly pulled and they're quickly fixed. Like literally like within hours of each other, they're fixed. And that's to a successful Q quality assurance team. And, you know, those engineers work their butt off to look for bugs and to fix it. I was working on a software project over the weekend looking for this damn bug. I could not figure out this damn bug. Like for the life of me, I was trying to figure it out. I was using single quotes or double quotes instead of single quotes. And it was like literally I was looking for this bug and I was like, everything is perfect. Like, why are you doing this? And literally, you know, so it's literally like, you know, when you have a bug in your software and it's released to the public and the public is having issues with that software, the QA team working with the engineers really dig down on it and fix the bugs so that they can push out an update right away.
Absolutely. And it's like when you have enough, yeah.
To do that, to discover the bug, to get with the engineers to fix it, to retest it, to make sure the bug is fixed. And like literally, like some, like with Google devices, like if you're doing a smartphone application, like literally making sure that the bug is fixed on every single device as well. You know, like going through, you know, like I have virtual devices on my computer. I can run software for different things. Same thing with Apple. I can run it on multiple different devices. So virtual devices, and then also live devices, you know, having those live devices there, putting it on there, seeing if the bug is there. Because the last thing you want to do is push out another bug, or you want to push out a software that still has a bug in it. You know, you want to fix those bugs and squash those bugs. Because like Roy said, you don't want the bad publicity to continue. You know, it's kind of like when Facebook went down, you know, and stuff like that. Like,
and I feel like as like updates, as consumers have come to expect updates to fix things, I feel like companies have maybe leaned more into shipping broken or buggy software. I know that with like video games, it seems that there's always a day one patch and there's always a significant number of bugs that you have to wait for the company to fix, or games that are promised to be something at launch but aren't, and then you have to wait for content update after content update, which might impose more bugs. I mean, even the Cyberpunk example, like they devoted a lot of attention to the next generation consoles and to PC, but it seems like they barely cared about, and also outright lied about, the stability of the original Xbox version or the last generation console versions. And you want to pay people you want to pay quality assurance testers. You want to get them competent. You want to make sure that they're well supported, because they're the front line right in between your company and your customers. They're making sure that the customer experience is as best as possible right when it launches.
Yeah. Well, remember, I think it was iOS. I can't remember if it was four. I want to say it was 14. During the developer preview during the summer before they released it to the public.
Uh-oh.
We all of a sudden got a like 14.1 developer preview before the release candidate was ever released. And that was basically because there was the first version was so buggy, and they found that out. And I believe at that point it was too late, because all the devices that were getting ready to ship were already preloaded with iOS 14 on it. And they needed to make sure that 14.1 was ready on launch day when the devices were available to the public, so that they could, people could update immediately. I mean, that is what a good quality assurance team can do. You know, obviously things are going to happen. Bugs are going to get by. It's going to continue to happen. It's always going to be a thing, but how fast your team can find that, isolate it, and react is what's important. And you cannot do that without a solid QA team. I mean, obviously you need solid developers, but you need a QA team that's solid.
And you have beta testers. I'm a beta tester for Apple software. Almost 90% of the time. Last year I waited. I don't remember when I updated, but I waited a while before I did the beta. But like when you have a beta team, you know, that's out there for public betas and stuff like that, and software gaming developers do as well, but to rely on them to do all the bug fixes is not there. A lot of them, 90% of the people, want to sit there and play the game first, you know, and get that. Same thing with, you know, Apple releasing iOS softwares and Google releasing Android softwares in beta. They want to play with the newest features first. They're not necessarily reporting those features. So while you have beta testers out there, you can't rely on beta testers to do everything. You need people who work 40 hours a week working on searching and finding these bugs and squashing them, because that is where the fixes come in and the stability of software relies on. So it'll be interesting to see if Call of Duty, you know, has a major bug, you know, and doesn't get squished because they don't have a good quality assurance
team. I would love for that to happen. I really want for that to happen.
There was a couple of years ago, I can't remember if I've told the story before. I probably have, but I used to do a lot more game testing for Microsoft back in the day. And one time I got invited out, and when you do a play test, they phone screen you and they ask you a bunch of questions, and you can kind of try and guess based off the questions they ask you and the answers and the honest answers that you give them based off of that, what kind of game you're going to be playing. They asked me a ton of, like, what do you think about shooter games? What about 16-player multiplayer games? And I'm like, and they asked me these questions and I answered them truthfully, and they're like, we want you to come out to our studio at this date and time. Are you able to be there? It's like, yes. And I was like, the whole time, like, I hope it's Halo. I think it's going to be Halo. But then they bring you into a back room. They take away your phones and everything, of course. And then you sign NDA, which, of course, ended for me. But then they bring you into a back room, and there's the developers. And they're like, all right, you're going to be playing Halo 5. And the Halo 5 that we played was in very early alpha. Like, very early. Like, the game was running in Halo 4. Like, all the menus were Halo 4. It said Halo 4. Everything said Halo 4. And then even, like, the armor, everything was all, like, it looked exactly like Halo 4. And then we started the game, and it's Halo 5. And it was, like, the first time ever seeing gameplay of it. And it was just, like, super weird. It was very buggy. Like, I guess one guy tried to customize his weapon loadout, and it crashed Xbox Live, their local Xbox Live network that they use for testing. And so, like, one of the 343 devs comes in, is like, do not customize your loadout. There's the option there. Don't do it because it will break everything. And then, like, one person shot a grenade or a rocket launcher at the other person, and, like, both their Xboxes crashed, and like, they both blue screened, which I didn't realize was a thing you could do. And it was just, like, super duper early, early alpha of the game. But of course, the entire time you have developers literally watching over your shoulders the entire time. They have, like, cameras everywhere, and then you have to do all these surveys, and it's just, like,
it doesn't even sound like fun anymore.
It's fun. It's like, but it's nice because you get, they give you a free, they don't pay you. Instead, they give you a free item from the Microsoft store. And it's like, you can choose from a list of items.
I would like a Series X.
Like,
I'd like the Xbox fridge right here.
It depends on how long you play test for. Like, I've done multiple sessions, and like, typically I get a copy of Windows for free or Microsoft Office for free. But I've had a friend go, and he's done 3-day long play tests where it's like 8 hours each day. Like, he played the entire Halo 4 campaign in play tests, and he's like, it was off. He was like, it was fun, but it was also terrible because half of the dialogue wasn't even finished recording. So it's like, you had two characters, like, talking, and there's no audio because they never finished the audio recording, or there's just no music in, like, some of the scenes because they're still not done
with the game. And that just goes to show, like, how much goes into making games or just software in general. When, like, the developers, like you said, are sitting there, they know probably what's going to break, but there's a whole host of stuff and interactions in games where they could be like, anything could happen. You could fly out of the map, the system could crash, something in the game could catch on fire.
They, one time I played a game, it was they were like, we're not going to tell you what you're going to play. They sat me in, like, this room, and it was like a living room kind of setup. except they had cameras everywhere and all this stuff. And they were like, we're not going to tell you the game you're going to play. You're just going to play it. And we're going to take notes. I'm like, okay. And I started playing it. And it was a game where you build your own game. The game ended up coming out, was being announced at E3 called Project Spark.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this sucks. like this is not fun at all. And I, like, they're asking the entire time, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much fun are you having? I'm like, 1. And then, like, maybe half an hour later, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much fun are you having? 2. And then, like, 30 minutes later, 1. Like, they're asking me, like, what was your favorite thing about the game? Like, literally nothing. This was not fun at all. Like, it was not a good game. And then, they announced at E3, and I'm like, oh, they actually went through with it. And then the project got canceled, I think. So it just, there's that. And then also Fable. I did another one for Fable, and then that got canceled as well. I've played a lot of games that have been canceled.
So, beta testing is one of those things where it's like, you know, you're going in to probably have, like, just maybe some negative experiences, but you kind of hope that it's going to be at least somewhat fun. But I also beta tested Project Spark, and I was like, this is just kind of unfun little Big Planet, but, like, more complicated and I don't know, less engaging and less cute.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, on the outside, how often do you guys go into, like, new software or new hardware and give it some leeway based on bugs? Because it sounds like Apple is really good at monitoring their bugs and responding really quickly. What's your guys' take on, like, new untested technology and bugs? How do you guys feel about that?
Well, I still can't talk about some of the things that I've tested because of ongoing NDAs, but I can just say that, I'll just leave it at that. Never mind. I won't answer the question. I'll let Tim or Roy.
I had a friend, this was back in 2010, so I can talk about this, but I had a friend who, his dad used to work for AT&T, and his dad got this Android phone that he was testing out, and I don't know, it was from, I think it was either from HTC or LG, but I kept asking him about it because it looked really crappy, and he showed me the phone, and it just had, like, a logo on the back, and it had a barcode, like a sticker barcode on it. And I was asking him about it, like, what? And he's like, I can't tell you the name of the phone. I'm like,
oh.
And he was like, I'm beta testing it, and it's awful. Like, he's like, he hated Android. He was like, this is the worst experience on Android I've ever had. And then immediately after he was done with it, he went and got an iPhone and was a full iPhone person. But then years later, he switched back to Android, and I asked him, I'm like, what made you switch back? And he was like, I don't know what that Android phone was, but it was awful. Like, he's like, but, like, compared to the new other Android phones that he was using, he was like, that was the worst Android phone I've ever used.
I can tell you, I know my NDA expired for this one, but I did a survey online pretty much, and it didn't really say what it was for. I had kind of a theory of what it was for, that it was from Google. But it was literally like, you know, how do you surf the web? How do you talk to people online? Do you use Gmail? Those type of things, you know, and I did it, and then, like, 6 months later, like, nothing happened. Like, I didn't hear anything, so I figured, oh, well, I guess I wasn't selected. And then my mom called me and said, hey, something showed up at the house for you, because I always used my parents' address as my residence for mailing and stuff. And so I literally ran over there, picked up this giant box, and I'm like, what the hell is it? I opened it up, and it was like a black, it was a black computer, had no writings on it whatsoever. It looked like it was a MacBook. Like, it literally looked like the original black MacBook, but it didn't have the Apple logo on the outside of it. I'm like, this is weird. This is crazy. And so I was like, I don't even know what this is. There's no packaging. There's no nothing on it. And so I opened it up. I plugged the power into it. I put it on the table. I opened it up, pushed the power button, and then literally pops up, and it's the Google logo.
Oh.
It was the first early edition of the Chromebook. And it was before what Chrome really is. Chromebooks are right now. It was really different from what Chromes are right now, kind of. But it was a very early stage of Chromebooks. And
I imagine that was like garbage.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. I mean, but we had a lot of
models are really bad too.
The current models. I mean, I'm going to say Chromebook isn't really good right now, but it wasn't very good back then either. Like it was literally like you have a taskbar on it now, right? At the bottom.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I think so. This early version was literally like the Chrome browser loaded on it. That was it. And then you had you opened a new tab, there was lots of different icons on there for applications. There was no start menu, there was no nothing. There was a little like Wi-Fi toggle button down on the bottom right hand side and stuff like that, but that was about it. Like, there was nothing. So it was pretty garbage at first. Just to say, it did improve over time. And then I got an update that literally just killed it, and it was dead. Like,
did you have to send it back? Did you get to keep it or something?
No, I kept it. I don't know where it's at. But literally they set out a software update, and you downloaded the software update, and it killed it.
Jeez.
Like, you were done. Like, you were done from the program. And then, you know, a few months later, the Chromebooks came out, and, you know, they launched the newer version of the Chromebooks, what the Chromebooks are now. And then whatever they're calling it, Chrome OS now. So that was one of my first early beta testings that I did. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. So, if you ever get an ad on the internet and want you to fill something out to try something, you can always try it.
Get onto those? How'd you get onto that list?
I don't remember. I honestly don't. I think I was selected because I had a Gmail account. I had a Gmail account before anybody else had a Gmail account, because I was on the pre-list for that as well. Eventually you could buy them you could buy invites off of eBay. But I had it even before that time. So you know, I still have people that send me email wanting my email address. Like, for the long time I had this weird, it was this weird web browser that didn't have a logo in it or anything like that, but it was just an email of the early forms of Gmail. And then it was interesting to see it transform into what it is today, because I saw it back when it had no look whatsoever. It was pretty sketchy looking. You would open up the application and not know what it is. So those are my two things. I don't know how I got the Gmail address. Honestly, I can't remember. It's been so long. But I think that I was selected in there to try the Chromebooks because I originally had a Gmail account. I'm assuming I might have just applied. I read an article or something and applied through a website. for Gmail is pretty much how I probably found out about it. I am on a lot of beta testers, so my test flight is full with beta testings. Like I test 1Password, a bunch of those services and stuff like that. So I just encourage people to get out there and test new things. I've tried to get on the Twitter beta for a long time, and that's one of the betas that I've never been able to get on, that I've always wanted to be on, because they do new crazy things. They test new applications, stuff like that, you know, and stuff. So, but yeah, so.
I think with any of the major companies like Twitter or Facebook, YouTube, whatever, the like beta programs that you can get into tend to not be broken, at least from them. But like some of the smaller companies or smaller tech companies that build hardware or something, I feel like you go into those with a sense that something is going to break. So I'd be curious how like regular people, because we're all pretty tech savvy here, so we can get into a situation where something kind of breaks down and we can maybe Google search it or go on forums and figure out how to get around certain problems. But I don't know what less tech savvy people might do or how angry they might get. Like if Call of Duty broke down tomorrow, how many people would be super angry because they couldn't figure out maybe how to get back online or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
More recently, I did test Google Digits. So when they launched Google Digits, there was a website that you could go try it, and I tried the beta version of Google Digits before anybody else. So I had a free digit line, and I still had it after they launched. I had it free for like 2 years, I think, or something like that. And then they started charging you $5 instead of $10. But yeah, so.
Was Google Digits, that's not voice, that's some separate.
Sorry, not Google Digit, T-Mobile Digits.
T-Mobile Digits, okay.
Gotcha. And I think it was just that you had to be a T-Mobile customer. I do remember, I think they called me though to set up the line or something like that. Like they had to call and verify who I was and stuff like that. And then they sent me a login request to reset password for it or something like that. And then, yeah, I wanted to say that was something on it. So, I mean, you just keep an eye out for things, you know, sometimes you find things on Reddit, you know, and stuff like that, you know, there's a big thread of like just beta links for iOS software on there. And I think there's probably one out there for Android too. Android, you have to be a little more careful on what you install though, because it doesn't go through the security testing. I mean, not that the betas do on iOS, but they go through an automated testing. So just want to be careful what you download for a beta software on Android versus iOS.
Especially if you're downloading APKs from a website that doesn't look legit, if it's not from the official, if it's from like Reddit forums or something like that, want to be careful.
Yeah, definitely. So just something to keep in mind. But yeah, so anyways.
So we got through the Activision firing and the Better.com firing. Was there anything else you guys wanted to throw in there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Let's briefly talk about the Life 360. Did you guys see that article that I posted in the Discord?
Life 360. I did see.
Yeah. It. So the owners of Life 360 have been reportedly selling location data to its users to just about anyone. It is crazy.
Big sigh.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get away with that. Well, I know how you get away with it. I don't know why you would. It's just a matter of time.
It's interesting because they bought Tile, or Tile bought them. I think they bought Tile. Mm. Which, if you're not familiar, Tile is like, it's like a, it's like an AirTag basically, but it's automated via Bluetooth rather than, you know, the proprietary Android, you know, Find My network. But I mean, I'm AirPods, or excuse me, AirTags for life. AirTags for life on that. And I'm literally going to get rid of my Tile because that's crazy. I do have a Tile. If you have Life 360, you should really think about that because they're selling your data. Just about anyone. So
not surprising, more and more non-Apple companies giving people more and more of a reason to switch to Apple to protect their privacy.
It surprises me how much of our data is already out there, you know, and, you know, that's why I don't have a free email service. I don't use gmail.com anymore. Even though I have a gmail.com address, I don't use it because I don't want Google to be reading my emails and, you know, pushing off advertisements about it, you know, and stuff like that. So I pay for a premium version of Google Suites, which doesn't have ads and stuff. And I do the same for my wife, you know, and we don't use things like that because I just don't want my, you know, emails to be read and taking off cues out of that. So should really think about your privacy if you use Life 360 or a Tile. Do any of you guys have Tiles?
Nope. I didn't think that they really offered much stability. Like, the product seemed cool, but
I got one on a Black Friday sale for like $10. So I was like, oh, I'll try it. And then I tried it and I'm like, this sucks. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Bluetooth, I always looked at that. I mean, the idea is cool, but Bluetooth isn't really super far. And I'm like, if I lose something and I'm not close enough to where Bluetooth can read it, what's the point? So I just I never gave into that. You're okay. Muted.
I can't hear you, Rory.
How's that?
Good.
We can hear you now.
I forgot that I muted myself because my furnace kicked on, so nobody had to hear my furnace blowing. that's why AirTags are completely the way to go, is what I had said.
Yeah, they are. So, anyways, there you have it.
In that case, we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the GooblyCast, and a big thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast. Look out for replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show, and you can join in. And also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next time on the GooblyCast.
Thanks for listening to the GooblyCast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Goopley. And remember, you can stream the GooblyCast on your favorite podcasting app or Goopley.com.